WRKC is proud to present the second season of The Adventures of Harry Flynn. The Adventures of Harry Flynn is written, performed, and directed by King students. We now present our 18th episode, Cats Off to You.
It started like any other morning. A pulsing pain in my head accompanied with a feeling of panic disorientation. Now, most days after that feeling, I more or less recover, swear off the drink forever, and eventually crawl out of bed. This time it was a little different, because I didn't see the empty walls of my apartment or the slowly spinning fan on my ceiling. Instead, I was looking out at a world flying by faster than I was strictly comfortable with. After a moment, I composed myself and realized I was in a car. My hands were bound and one of my feet was cuffed to my seat. Sitting next to me was a familiar face that was set with determination. Deborah?
Oh, Harry, you're up. I was worried you were still going to be out when we got there.
When we get where? And why do you have me handcuffed?
Well, I've got you handcuffed because you're not going to like where we're going.
That didn't answer my first question at all. And why does my head hurt so much?
Probably because you had too much to drink, but possibly because I hit you with a book earlier.
Well, that explains that. You know, I've still got that first unanswered question. Are you going to keep on just answering whatever is the most recent question I ask?
Yes.
Why aren't you answering the first one?
Because you keep asking new ones.
Where are we going?
There's an exhibit I want to see at the Museum of Modern Art.
Raw terror clenched my soul as I struggled against the cuffs. It was no good. She'd put them on properly and I wasn't going anywhere. Damn it, Deborah. You know I hate modern art. And there's no way in hell you're getting me to New York.
Calm down, Mr. Flynn. We're not going to the one in New York. We got one in our very own city. It's the grand opening.
I sat in sullen silence for the next 15 minutes, rattling my handcuffs occasionally in an impotent attempt to escape. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not some kind of art snob. I just don't follow art at all. But the last time I went to a modern art exhibit, I got 3 gallons of red paint dumped on my head as a piece of performance art. I then got a night in the slammer for punching the artist in the mouth. Apparently, the performance art defense only goes so far. We pulled into the museum parking lot, and Deborah unhooked me from my seat with a little more roughness than was strictly necessary. Why are you even bringing me? You know I'll just get in your way the entire time.
Jimmy has a shoe convention to go to.
A shoe convention?
Talk about the latest marketing strategies and comfort innovations happening every day in the rapidly expanding field of practical podiatry.
I didn't have a whole lot to say in response to that, so I just followed her up the stone steps to my fate. I would have made a dash for it, but she still had the key to my handcuffs. And frankly, I hadn't figured out where exactly we were. Sitting at the front desk was a pretty young thing that could have been a heartbreaker if she wasn't wearing a man's suit.
Hello. Welcome to the Museum of Modern Art's grand You aren't allowed here.
Damn it, Deborah. I told you this was a bad idea.
You're embarrassing me, Harry. What's the problem? Our artists are given the option to forbid certain patrons from coming in. For example, jealous ex-lovers, probation officers, that kind of thing. Well, I'm sure Harry has never dated an artist, Miss...
Stevens. Gail Stevens. The name hung in the air with a significance probably unjustly given to it. I didn't actually know her, but her little placard gave a hint as to her name.
And you're Mr. Harry Flynn. It seems you assaulted the artist who provided our main exhibit. Oh God, Harry, why didn't you tell me?
Because you knocked me unconscious, handcuffed me, and dragged me here without letting me explain why I couldn't come. That at least was a stroke of luck. Maybe since I can't go in, I can sit in the car or find a bar nearby or something.
No, I'm sure we can find a way to get you in. No, it's simply not going to happen. Unless he's going to walk through in handcuffs, I'm sure that Frances Wesselmeyer will protest.
I raised my hands to the window so she could see my current state. After staring for a moment, she handed me 2 tickets.
Welcome, then. If you need a guide or any sort of assistance, let me know.
We walked into the horrid halls of the museum, surrounded by people with their noses so far up in the air it was a wonder they weren't running into things. We wandered down the halls, my handcuffs clinking with each step.
Oh, darling, come look at this piece.
That is quite interesting, but what could it mean?
I think the bindings on his hands represent society.
And he's got to be the lower class, seeing how poorly he's dressed.
And the stench of gin.
Get the hell out of here or I'll show you why I'm cuffed.
Harry, behave.
Or what? You'll send me to the car? I'd love that. You'll publicly humiliate me? I'm already walking around in handcuffs.
There's an opera running down the street.
Oh. I'll behave. The cruel harpy led me through to a setup where a man was standing behind a fake bar, his face painted like a mime. He was dressed in some kind of strange purple suit and was holding up what looked suspiciously like a bottle of Heinz ketchup. The man looked familiar, though the last time I'd seen him, he was holding an empty jar of paint in one hand and his face in the other. Deborah, we should go. That's Frances Wieselmeyer.
Wesselmeyer.
Exactly, we should go.
The tomato. The tomato is a round red vegetable. Or is it? No! It has seeds like an apple, so it is a fruit. And if tomato is a fruit, then isn't ketchup a smoothie? And is not society ketchup?
This is exactly why he gets punched.
He was talking about ketchup last time you punched him?
No, he was being all highfalutin.
You there, with the angry eyes. Would you like a Harry Flynn?
Weasel Major looked my way, and suddenly his eyes narrowed. He pushed past the bar with an arm raised, shouting with rage and swinging the ketchup bottle around violently.
Guards, come arrest this man. He's not supposed to be in here.
I've been trying to explain that. I don't want to spend my time looking at finger paintings.
Oh, come on. You're in a museum. Can you at least pretend to be adults?
I am an adult. I have a job. I do work.
And creating art isn't doing work.
Not in the same way saving lives is.
Harry, stop this right now.
Mr. Wesselmeyer, is there a problem?
There is. This is the man who assaulted me last year. He was prohibited from coming here. Cuff him and take him out of here.
All right, hands behind your back, sir.
I can't. Already cuffed.
So you are.
All right, well, that makes things easier, doesn't it? Just take him out of here.
The guard took me by the shoulder and started to drag me out of the room while Deborah argued with the weasel guy. Just as we were coming to the exit, Gail Stevens rounded the corner in a hurry. Her suit was disheveled, her hair was a wreck, and tears had made long black trails of mascara down her cheeks. When she saw me being let out, she jumped quickly in front and grabbed the lapels of my jacket.
Oh, I'm so glad you're still here. You're a private investigator, right? We need your help. Something terrible has happened, and nobody can leave until this is solved.
Nobody can leave until this is solved? That is terrible! I'm on the case. What seems to be the problem?
Another exhibitor was set up a bit further down. He grabbed me and bound me with a red nylon rope. At first I thought it was part of a performance piece, but then he started destroying all the nearby pieces of art.
And this is bad how exactly?
Harry.
Sorry.
Luckily, I was able to trigger the museum's alarm. The guard found me, untied me, and put the whole place on lockdown.
And, what's with the tears?
I just really, really appreciate art.
So the suspect is still in here, that's what you're saying?
Yes. Oh, who would ever want to destroy any of those beautiful pieces of art?
Someone sane and not lonely?
What was that, Mr. Flynn?
Nothing. All right, Deborah, I suggest you uncuff me. Deborah, do you have the keys to unlock these cuffs?
No.
No?
Well, if I brought them, you would just go in to tackle me at some point and take them.
Damn it, Deborah. Now how am I supposed to get anything done?
Hey, it's like that old adage. You can investigate a high-stakes crime with your hands tied behind your back.
Fine, just come over here and get my gun out of my pocket. And, for the record, my hands are in front of me. Deborah fished my .35 out of my pocket and put it in my hands. Gail started to lead me towards the area where the crime had taken place. Suddenly, there was a loud noise and a scream from Deborah. I ran back to her, but it was too late. She was spread out on the floor, her stomach covered in a red liquid. I didn't waste any time. I whirled around and fired.
Ouch! Oh. You shot me?
I went on instinct. You shot my secretary.
No, he didn't, Harry.
I looked back to see a perfectly fine Deborah getting up off the ground.
Wesselmeyer just sprayed me with a societal ketchup. Some of it got on the ground and I slipped. See?
You shot me.
It was only in the foot. Give it a rest. What was that loud noise?
Someone smashing a large crate marked Precedence.
God help me, do I hate art people. Okay, someone's going to have to stay here with the weasel and treat his wounds. Does anyone here
know
how to...
Move over, Harry.
You shot me!
Deborah? You know how to treat wounds?
Sure, I went to a semester of medical school.
So you're saying all those times I went to the doctors and paid those ridiculous bills, you could have taken care of me?
Yeah, probably for pennies.
I stormed off, not wanting to cause a bigger scene than the one I already had. I was told later that the modern art people were under the assumption that the whole thing was a performance piece, and that they should go about their business. I passed by a group of people saturated in paint, hurling themselves onto canvases. A small group of musical gypsies who specialized in kazoo jazz. And a 3-person dramatic reenactment team.
Oh, darling, I simply cannot wait for our picnic. Why do you look so glum?
It's raining out, so we're eating inside.
No!
Until Gail brought me to the general area in which the art pieces were destroyed.
Well, here it is.
I stared at the vibrantly colored piles of odds and ends. Paint brushes, liquor bottles, old radio bits. I couldn't help thinking it looked a hell of a lot like everything else here. Could you describe the assailant?
Well, he was 6'4", blonde, sort of gangly but strong, in a green, homemade turtleneck.
Kinda like this.
Ugh. The guard dropped a man who fit the description perfectly right in front of me. All right, buddy. You'd better start talking and fast. I don't want to have to be here all night.
Flippin' groovin' sloopin' new groovin' over you woman.
Looks like I was gonna be here all night anyway.
We'll return for the subpar conclusion of Cats Off to You, but first, a word from our sponsor. All right, everybody, that was pretty good. Good hustle.
Thanks, Keith. Hey, anybody got a light?
Sure, I was just getting it out. So, baby, what you doing after recording?
Just polishing up my doctoral study about whether the P300 reaction exhibited in witness identification EEGs can be properly viewed as a postdiction of success.
Huh. Well... All right.
I do much wonder, that one man seeing how much another man is a fool when he dedicates his behaviors to love, will after he hath laughed at,
Excuse me, Brody isn't called today.
Oh, I must have written down the wrong date.
And that didn't sound like one of our scripts.
I'm about to debut in an off-Broadway production of Much Ado About Nothing. I'm Benedict.
Yeah, you certainly are.
All right, see you next week. After he hath laughed at such shallow follies in others, become the argument of his own scorn.
Hey, did anyone catch the Dodgers game?
Hey, shut up, new girl.
Oh, come on, Keith, don't be like that.
No, man, she has not earned the place to speak yet.
She's every bit as much of a member of our group as any of us.
Shouldn't you be standing in front of an oven somewhere?
Keith, not okay.
Oh, what?
You can't say things like
women
that.
Women are inferior to men.
No, that's not okay.
That's not cool, Keith.
Come on, she's a member of our team.
Team shmeem.
What the hell is going on in here?
Keith is being a misogynist.
No. Why isn't the commercial going out?
What do you mean?
We were doing the commercial over in Studio B for a minute and a half before we realized the on-air sign wasn't on. Did anyone switch over to B mic?
No, we didn't switch on the B mic. We're actors. I can't work under these conditions.
Every week.
I've got the schedule right here. It says that Brody was on board duty today. Why does he sign everything Brody?
He's method.
I've just been keyed into the fact that the commercial wasn't going on. People haven't been able to hear my velvety voice for 2 whole minutes. Those are wasted words. Wasted words!
Well, what was the product?
Well, Shooter String and Animatux are working together to design a new device that you latch onto your pet. And it helps you throughout your day by carrying around and providing you with the objects you need with a spoken command. Not available in all areas. May lead to sudden death.
Whoa, buddy. You're in our booth now.
Keith, cut it out. We're all a team here.
Yeah, we're a team here.
You know what? I'm done with this. I'm genuinely hurt right now.
It's okay. He treats me just the same way.
We need to be back to the show in 15 seconds.
Look, what's the name of the product?
Dr. Fraud's Commendably Convenient Canine Caddy.
All right, give me the mic. Dr. Fraud's Commendably Convenient Canine Caddy. Buy it. Take it away, Keith.
We now return to the exciting conclusion of The Adventures of Harry Flynn.
I sat and stared at the man who locked me in this hellhole. A 6'4" Swede, to the best of my knowledge, didn't speak a word of English. God help me, this is gonna be a long night. Does anybody have any liquor in this? Before I could finish the question, a dozen performance artists held up flasks of every shape and sort. Looks like we have something in common after all. I took a nip off of everyone's generous offerings.
Well, aren't you going to question him?
Wouldn't do much good. The man's Swedish, which would be fine if he spoke any English. Which he doesn't.
How the hell would you know? You haven't asked him a single question.
Touché. Excuse me, sir? Sir?
Yeah.
Can you speak any English? I rest my case. I grabbed one of the kazoo players' flasks, mainly because they were the group that annoyed me the most, and swigged it down in a gulp and some change. If I'm gonna be here all night, I plan to make the most of it. I walked by a phone and... A phone! Quickly, I dialed the number of the police. Hey, what gives? There's no dial tone.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. This is a piece by Honoris of the Mammoth entitled Misleading Phones, circa 1927.
Damn the art community! I went back to Deborah, who was quietly nursing Weasel Mickle by the ketchup exhibit. Deborah, I need you to...
Shh! He's sleeping. Made any progress?
No, we caught the guy, but I can't question him. For that matter, nobody can. He's Swedish.
Can I come with you?
Sure, no reason why you can't. She left the weasel, wrapped foot and all, and accompanied me to our suspect. She looked at him for a moment, and then began talking to him. In Swedish.
Okay. He says his name is Eric. He's from Stockholm, and he moved here yesterday. Someone went to him right as he got off the boat and offered him this job. He's sorry he did it, but he needed the money.
Deborah? You speak Swedish?
Yeah. My family moved there when I was 4 months old. We moved back to the U.S. when I was 13. I taught myself how to speak without the accent.
You taught yourself how to speak without the accent?
Yeah.
Well then, why'd you pick up that one?
Huh?
Why did you... No, never mind. So apparently I had a Swedish-speaking nurse in my employ for 5 years. Handy little thing to know beforehand. We both made our way back to Weaselhofer when we noticed something fairly interesting. Or better yet, a lack thereof.
Harry, Wesselmeyer's gone.
I noticed.
But that's impossible. This place is on lockdown. He couldn't have left.
Well, that just means we'll have to look extra hard. Would anybody like to accompany us?
I'll do it!
Out from the litter of artists came an exceptional buck. One of those people who looks like they spent a little too much time thinking and not enough living. He was bald, wearing a flowery silk shirt, a pair of glasses only pilots wear, and smoking a cigarette out of a holster. When he talked to me, it was in a loud, almost shouting manner.
Reverend Forrest H.T. Kallheim, damn glad to meet you. Let's search this place clean, crown to sternum!
Well, all right. Deborah, I think you should stay here in case Weasel Sumter's off doing another performance piece. Mr. Kallheim and I...
Reverend, Sonny Reverend, I didn't mail away 3 cents to be called mister.
Reverend Karlheim and I go search the place.
Mr. Flynn, I'm coming with you.
The Reverend and I, accompanied by a persistent Deborah and the Swede, began to search the museum for Weaselgruben. Over my shoulder, I could hear Deborah relay Eric's story to the Reverend, who was none too interested.
He says he was given very little money from the man with the hat.
That means nothing to me!
All right, Mr. Holy Roller. He also said that the man never gave him his name and couldn't recognize him because of the hat covering his face.
That still means nothing to me!
Whatever it means, we need to find Weaselhopper! As we continued our way through the crowd of babbling, beatnik, artsy, fartsy, beret-wearing, dog-breeding, ostentatious people... Oh, what was I saying? As we continued our way through the crowd, we passed a series of displays, including a sculpture of a toilet with a sign in front of it that said, "For the last time, this is a work of art. Work of art, my..."
Mr. Flynn.
Huh? I'm sorry, I was miles away.
Right. We need to find someone else here who speaks Swedish. It's the only clue we have to find out who hired Eric.
Right!
After questioning as many art folk as I could stand, we realized we were getting nowhere until...
Ja, ja, jeg gerske diga!
What was that again?
He said that the hat man likes kitten art.
Kitten art, hmm? Why didn't you mention this before? This is clearly significant information.
Fluga duga snuga.
Reverend, do you know if there are any kitten art exhibits here?
Kitten art? It's the Lord's art! But yes, yes there is.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Kitten art. I couldn't believe I was about to walk into an art exhibit about kittens. Not to mention that I was only... dealing with a slight buzz and still handcuffed. Before we knew it, we were in the midst of a heated kitten art debate.
That'll happen as soon as we figure out who's got that picture of the kitten. It represents the inner struggle we all have to face to gain acceptance in society, and questions whether we all want acceptance in the first place. You lowly art-viewing peasant.
If you had any talent at all as an artist, wouldn't the people who view your art, like me, be able to tell what the hell it means? Do you think I'm some kind of an idiot?
Possibly. You're acting like some kind of an idiot.
Yeah, well, you're a kitten art phony.
The two artistes began to scuffle. Kitten art flew every which way. In an attempt to stop the crazed artist, I jumped into the fray, forgetting my hands were still cuffed. This resulted in a heavy blow to the face by an apparent kitten art enthusiast.
Violence is Satan's recreational fun!
The Reverend, who I now believe to be insane, leapt onto the man, pinning him to the ground. Who are you? Where are you from? And why did you punch me?
JD, Soho, you were in my way.
This is 2 years in a row that I was almost punched on account of Harry. Not to mention shot in the foot.
Alright, JD. Why are you fighting with Weisenheimer over here?
These intellectual guys don't like to have an intellectual conversation with you unless they're running the whole thing. They always want you to shut up when they shut up. And go back to your room when they go back to their room.
Very true, but that doesn't give you the right to attack him.
Mr. Flynn, Mr. Flynn! I found this note in the paw of a kitty sculpture. There's English and Swedish writing on it.
What does the Swedish say?
It says, "Go to the Museum of Modern Art at the following address and destroy a bunch of pieces. I don't care which ones."
What's the English?
"Go to the Museum of Modern Art at the following address and destroy a bunch of pieces. I don't care which ones."
Thank you, Deborah.
This note must belong to that kitten art defiler.
You can't prove anything.
What about the other side of the paper? There's English written there, too.
It says, "This note is property of JD.
That's not mine. Somebody probably just wrote that on there to frame me.
Underneath that, it says, "I'm going to deny that it's mine, but I swear it belongs to me. Signed, JD. Nice signature."
Well, that was extremely easy. Wait, is that a man climbing up the wall?
It appears so!
Mr. Flynn, the people are getting antsy. I think we should let everybody go, especially that guy on the wall.
She's right! If we don't do it soon, he'll just keep on climbing the scaffolding!
Gail, open the door!
Sure, Mr. Flynn. I can't thank you enough.
No need to thank me. I'm only doing my job. Deborah conveniently had an extra pair of handcuffs in her purse. I had her slap them on JD and had the Reverend escort him to the car. After being forced into a night with Deborah at a modern art exhibit, I learned that I really hate art. Especially kitten art. It's not very often that I solve a case by myself.
Yourself? Harry, I did all the work. I solved this case. The only thing you did was shoot a man in the foot.
How did you... This is in my... Never mind. An event like this warranted a trip to Glenn's for a celebratory shot. Or three. After my second shot of whiskey, I began to reminisce on the case and that artsy brat tabbed with Sinovich. Boy, the next time I see anyone who vaguely resembles him... they're getting a solid sock on the jaw.
This has been The Adventures of Harry Flynn, presented by WRKC. This week's episode, We Finally Jumped the Shark, was written by Brandon Leon Gambetta, Brandy George, Drake Nestor, Lucas Tomasacci, and Mark Zurich. Our cast today was Brandy George as Deborah Sullivan, Gail Stevens, Art Girl, Actress, Donut the Angry Bulldog, and herself. Brandon Leon Gambetta as Harry Flynn, stand-in for Miss Momenzada, Belligerent Drunk Number 1, and himself. Sue Henry as a very patient and understanding woman. Drake Nestor as Art Guy. Eric the Big Swede, JD, commercial announcer, tow truck driver number 1, tow truck driver number 2, tow truck driver number 3, and tow truck driver number 9. Lucas Samasaji as announcer, guard, art exhibitor, Reverend Forrest H.T. Karlheim, Kenyon number 3, Jerry Lewis fanatic, and snore double for Mr. Zurich. Mark Zurich as Francis Wesselmeyer, actor, Officer Brody, director, the chronic loser, and Lincoln Log enthusiast. And featuring Weena Mercator as the hopping woman. Can't get enough Harry Flynn? Well, this should have done it for you. If you'd like to send us hate mail, find us on Facebook.